Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scattered. I am a Hebrew. We
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Discharge in that war. We'll be right back. then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Teacher Shane here again with you this evening, back on this rotation. Thank y'all for it. Pray all is well with all that are in hearing distance tonight. I know the Most High has made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just got back a few hours ago from Georgia. Straightway, Georgia. Had a wonderful time there. Very good to see my brothers and my sisters. My heart's elated and indicted in a good matter. Was able to see the progress and the beauty of the multi-purpose building. Was able to really kick it off well. It's going to be all right. Most High is moving. The saints are moving. Getting things done. We give all the thanks and all the honor and all the glory to our Most High, to Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Savior. Because without Him, we can do nothing. He provides all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you again tonight for bringing in the tens into the chat room. Glad that the new little mic here is working quite well. I was wondering how this little USB mic would do for the broadcast, and I think we'll use it for right now. Hopefully it's got good clarity. Hopefully it is delivering what it needs to deliver, what it was purposed to do. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, I'm not sure, but the message that Pastor preached Shabbat in Georgia, don't know if it's up yet, online yet. It should be, though. He is purposing to get it up. But I hope everyone enjoyed and gave support and prayed and did all that wonderful works of love while Elder Becker was ministering. He was called to minister at the last minute, and he did well, always, always. We are servants of Christ, hallelujah, servants of Messiah. He helps us do all things well. That's the beauty about losing your life and finding His life. There's so many things out here trying to pass itself off as life. But many of us have learned that it is a lie. Basically, it is death trying to put on a mask of light. We need not to marvel, for Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light, and he can mimic pretty well, but he has no power. But too many people in this time and this hour are giving him power. But I thank the Most High Yah that He's put His Spirit in me and many others of my brothers and sisters and given us power over sin, hell, and the wicked one. And that's a beautiful thing about losing your life and finding His life. Life which was ordained from the beginning. The life which was predestined from the beginning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, tonight, well, it's almost night. I always call it tonight. Certain times of year, it probably is nighttime right now. Certain places, it's probably nighttime. Evening, this evening, is probably a better word to say. Let us look, and we're going to step off. I think I gave allusion to this last time that I talked about going into the book of Ephesians. I alluded to this. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to start out in the book of Ephesians tonight. Very interesting epistle. Paul has written this to the assembly there at Ephesus. And it's funny that I started reading, you know, certain Christian dogmas about Ephesus, and all I can do is shake my head. And when they want to call Ephesus the mother church in Asia, and I'm like, mother church, that don't sit right, mother church. No, that echoes, and that has a resonance of something I think that we should not refer it to. Praise Yah. But what really was going on with Ephesus there in Asia was the main hub, if we can say that in surety, and to say that in wholeness. Hallelujah. Yeah, morning in Australia. I bet it is, yes. It's probably, what about 8, 9, 10 around there? I can't book. And it's already the next day in Australia. Praise Yah. Amazing. But hallelujah, hallelujah. You're right, Brother Paul. This matriarchy crap that's written in from the Christian perspective and trying to give that whorish connotation to places. But Ephesus was known, and we're going to look at this in Acts 19, for worshiping a mighty one, a female deity called Artemis or Diana. And it was very virulent with this. It was, they're very steeped in this. And I think also another mighty one that they worshiped there was, I think it was Jupiter or something like that, but probably more deities than that probably was going on in worship there. But don't want to get too far into just an understanding of what Ephesus was, a place Ephesus was. Anybody gets a Bible map and seeing Asia Minor and Asia provinces of all these places that Paul did travel and give the gospel to. But Ephesians does start out in chapter 1, verse 1. It says Paul. You know, he's the main author. He's the one writing the epistle here. An apostle of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. How was he an apostle of Jesus Christ? By the will of Yah. And that's the reason why he can boast in such. And he wrote this to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He said, grace be to you and peace from Yah our Father and from the Master Savior Jesus Christ. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, blessed, like salutations that Paul does. The blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Beautiful, beautiful salutation. But before we go on here, I want to drop back to Acts 19. And we're going to read a little bit of that. Yeah, blessed is our Elohim and our Father of our Master Jesus Christ. And we got to understand that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Yeshua. And Paul was writing this to the Ephesians because the Ephesians, from a standpoint from where I'm seeing, from where they was in their pagan idolatry and everything, they still had a unique spirituality about them, and Paul was able to reach them even all this was going on. As in Acts chapter 19, we'll start at verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, was you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. They're all the way up there in the coast of Ephesus. We go back in the Gospels and we can glean the place where John was baptizing many. So these disciples from that time of John the Baptist to this time of Paul meeting them at Ephesus, they had traveled that far. The message was going that far. Very interesting, very interesting. It's kind of unique that even though they were disciples and they were baptized under John's baptism, that they didn't hear about the one that he proclaimed was coming after him, whose shoes he was not worthy to unloose. He said there was one coming after him that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But these certain disciples did not hear this message from John. I thought that was quite interesting. But they were disciples. They were taught ones all the way up in Ephesus. Then in verse 4 of Acts, chapter 19, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they which believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Master. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And it says, all the men were about 12 disciples that were baptized under John's baptism. Now that Paul had preached unto them that the one coming after John, they received the message gladly. And the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. 12 of them. 12. And it says, and Paul went about into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of Yah. But it says, when diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, this disputing, this teaching, this leading, this guiding, so that they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of our Master, our Savior Jesus, both Yehudims and Greeks, in that time that Paul was there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also happening at Ephesus when Paul, during the space of the 2 years, reasoning, preaching, teaching, disputing. Verse 11 of Acts 19 says, and Yah wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Yehudim Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Master Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a Yehudim, and chief of the priests, and did so, which did so. And the evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And it says, and this was known to all the Yehudim, the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Master Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them which also used curious arts. This place was loaded. There's many of them which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And it said, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces. That's a lot of books. Curious arts, witchcraft, whatever it may be. And so mightily grew the word of Yah and prevailed. In verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And again at Ephesus. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. I mean, here you sell it all these little mighty ones to all these people, and they believed in all these mighty ones and prayed to them and everything, and here you are taking his business away, bringing the truth of Yeshua HaMashiach, bringing the reality that Elohim lives. And it's hurting your business. And so when he called together with the workmen of like occupations and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians! And while the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the temple, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. And some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They was just going along with the crowd. Since everybody else is doing it, I just joined myself to them. And it says, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with one hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Yehudim, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knows not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana? And of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a matter against any man, the law is open. And there are deputies. Let them plead with one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give account to this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So Ephesus had a lot of drama. Paul was there a space of 2 or 3 years, give or take. A lot went on. Because the miracles, the signs, and the wonders which were wrought by his hands were putting to shame the silversmiths. As we read there, they caused a whole city to uproar. And a large part of the city were in uproar, and they don't know why they're in uproar, but they were there for the uproar. So you can see the people at Ephesus were a unique people. And we're going to get into how Paul, it's amazing. We've looked at the epistle written to the Hebrews, which I believe has many authors. They don't have no definite author opening the letter as we have here with the epistle to the Ephesians. This is directly Paul saying here, I wrote this to you. You can understand that Paul being there in just that little space of time, that we got a glimpse from Acts chapter 19 of all that he beheld and all that went on there, all the drama, all the signs, the healings, the wonders that took place there, everything that he experienced. Now he's writing there to the people that are assembling there. And he understands, you know, from being there and being experienced, how to address these people from the experience that he pulled them from. As a lot of people that were in that assembly were practicing curious arts, had many books and were no telling what they were doing, necromancy, alchemy, just all kinds of just weird crafts, witcheries and witch. No telling how much was going on at Ephesus, since it was pretty much the main hub of Asia, a great trade port. A lot of roads ran through there. It was quite a big area, quite a major area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're back at verse 3 again. I'm back over in the book of Ephesians. Just give, you know, a little glimpse of what's going on at Ephesus from the word standard. I'm not going to read a lot what these Christian commentaries say with all their embellishments of matriarchy within, written within. They want to call, you know, the letter, the epistle to the Ephesians, one of the Pauline letter. I'm like, Pauline? He's not Pauline. Pauline is, any Pauline that I ever known was a woman. It just has connotation to a woman. So we can, that just, so many things in its consonants and dissonance and verbiage, it echoes to where its origin is. We can actually, if we have the hearing ear and the seeing eye, when we hear such things like that, we go, no, I'm not receiving that description. I'm not receiving that definition. I'm not receiving none of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, I got to make it definite there, us. Because who's reading this epistle? The believers at Ephesus. As was believed that this letter to the Ephesians was meant to be started there, read there first, and then published and spread out through all the other regions of Asia. But this is a definite letter and a definite blessing and a definite greeting to all those that believed, all those that became believers, all those that became disciples, has blessed us with all, how many? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and this is always in Christ. To be out of Christ, you won't receive no blessings. To be in him. A lot of people profess to be in him, but he's not in them. And I'm like, how can you profess to be in Christ and he is not in you? Well, how do you say that he is not in me? Have you cast out the devil? You prayed for the sick and they were healed. Raised the dead, cleansed the leper. Done any of these mighty things which the Spirit of Yah compels a disciple and a believer to do. It compelled Paul to do all that he did at Ephesus. And many put down all their curious arts, their curious ways and everything. And then you had some that tried to mimic him, sorcerers. They just want to use the name of the one that Paul preaches, and the devil's going to sit there and look at him. Yeah, we know Paul, but who the hell are you? I hear that spirit looking at them with cross eyes, pointing at them right there, and that had been a shock to the seven of them. Who the hell are you? Hallelujah. 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 I just make it real. Bring it home, talk in my old southern language. Let's talk about southern language today. One thing about the southern language or the southern dialect of English, it's a very, I got to watch myself sometimes. It's a lazy dialect. Like some people, some you know, the Deep South folks will say hundred like a hundred, and then they'll ask, you know, have you eat yet? And they say, yeet yet? And I'm like, what? What'd you say, yeet yet? What's a yeet yet? And I told them, slow it down. And they say, have you eat yet? I was like, oh, okay. And a bunch of other phrases, it just runs all together. Hallelujah. But going on. Hallelujah. When Paul is addressing the Ephesians in a unique manner and displaying Christ in a unique manner and understanding, I guess, from their position, from their spiritual dialect, And he's reaching them on their level, able to reach them just like them at Athens. I could see Paul going down there looking at all these shrines, and they all got names, and he's looking down, looking at them, and like, yeah, look at this shit. Going down there looking at these unique-looking statues with faces and no telling what they look like, probably naked as hell. But he got to the last one, looked up at it, and then looked down at the plate or whatever the inscription was, to the unknown God. Paul, being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of the word of Yah, he looked at that and says, this is a pulpit to preach from. I can preach. I can declare unto them this unknown Elohim that they don't know. But I, Paul, an apostle, by the will of Yah, I'm going to declare unto you who this is. I'm going to make him known unto you. Because when I make one and only known unto you, all these others right here, you're going to remove them. You won't know them no more. You will know the one that knows you. All these others, they don't know nothing. Their hands can't grab. Their mouth can't eat. People try to feed them. I don't understand why people in these countries like to feed a fat Buddha statue or whatever it may be. And I guess somehow, some way, a demon will come along and probably make some kind of lying wonder take place to strengthen their resolve. Oh, the statue drank the milk. Oh, the statue ate the cookie. Too much deception. I'm glad that Yah has raised Paul in this time, and we can read for the book of Acts, going back again, Acts chapter 19, all that mess that Paul put up with in that time that he was there. But I know with him interacting with the people there and understanding their way of life, the way they worshiped and what they worshiped, he was able to reach them. And I believe this epistle is really going to touch, it's that accent and that dialect of the people that were there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to verse 4. Because he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I think, you know, it's one thing I've learned as I mature in Christ and go on to perfection. Start really grasping more and more year by year, day by day, the spiritual blessings which are there for us that at one time we were not aware of. And some of us, even to this time, this hour, don't know that it's there laid up for us. We, you know, I'm glad the Most High Yah don't dump into us fully what Christ has done for us, but he's made this thing gradual. He's put this thing on a maturing level. He sees where we are at our walk. He sees what we're responsible for. He sees that as much he has given us, we have met the requirement, so he's there to give us more. He knows where we are in our walk. And one thing it is good for us, and it was for them at Ephesus, is once you learn that there is a living Elohim, and once you know that the living Elohim is inside you, you're going to continue to hunger and thirst after him. Once you get a taste of his life, you get so sick and tired of your damn former life, and you should. You should. You should reckon that thing as a pile of shit, as nothingness. Now, I can sit back sometimes and reflect, and what good did I do in my former estate? What good did I do without Yah? I did not do nothing. What were my thoughts without Yah? And I can come to the conclusion at that time I was dead. I was truly dead. I was truly estranged from life. I had believed the mighty one of this world in his brand of life. But his brand of life was masked. And it looked like life, and it looked like it would give me all that my flesh desired. But at the end of it all, I found it to be, in every aspect, death, death, death. And when the Most High gave me, in the beginning, gave me a taste of his life. No cocaine, no marijuana, no foreign substance that would make you goofy and stupid and high, could touch what he had given me. He gave me a little taste. He knew what my former estate was. He knew what my former appetite was. So I said, try this. Try me. You've been trying marijuana. You've been smoking it all these years. You've been sniffing cocaine. You've been doing this and doing that. Why don't you try me? I said, okay, okay, I'll try you. When I did, it was no longer to the unknown God. Like Brother Paul said, you know, there is no high like being in the Most High. When he is high and lifted up, and your feet are set in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, guess also who is high. What is the real high? What is the true high? One thing is, it's about the high of the Most High Yah, that it's everlasting. It's not temporal. It's not there that I'm high and drugged out of my mind and I'm drooling at the mouth and laying on the ground and can't move. 2 hours later, it's gone. No, the more I stay high with the Most High, I start seeing more and more day by day how much he has blessed with all spiritual places in heavenly, because if my mind is stayed in heaven, then all this other stuff is under my feet. And as long as it stayed under my feet, I'm in dominion. I'm in order. I can tell death, you have no more dominion. Or I can say, sin, I'm not going to do you no more. You are under my feet. I'm high with the Most High. And I don't want to lose this feeling. And this feeling is nothing that my flesh is feeling, but my inner man is renewed day by day. I am built up in the Most High. I can give me a song of worship and a song of praise and be in his presence instantly. And all I had to pay for. Hallelujah. Everyone went on before me and paid it all. Has blessed us, hallelujah, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us. Us chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Whoa. But what was this chosen? How did he choose us in him before the foundation of this world? We got to come to this understanding. He's chosen us. And we're in him. Why? What was the intent? What was the extent? What was the purpose to bless us with all spiritual blessings? That we should be holy and without blame before him. And how is this always performed? In love. True, real, magnificent, mighty love. The highest love of all is Yah. Do you want to get high? Love. Like the Most High Yah loved you. That's why Paul is trying to reach the Ephesians here. I'm trying to get your mind into an understanding about the spiritual blessings in heaven. That he had performed this work before the foundation of the world. He led captivity captive when he ascended up on high. And I thank the Most High Yah that he gives me a place of escape each and every day. When I know he's far above all this world and all the principalities and all the powers. The only place I can, if I want to escape this world, I get into communion with him. I go where he is. So I'm high on Jesus. I'm high on Yah. Why? Because he is the Most High. You want to get high? See the Most High. There's nothing like the lowly Jesus. Something about him being low will lift you higher and higher and higher. See, the God of this world, he wants to make your flesh high. And that's only for a little bit of time. So that he can bring you lower. Bring you down into the depths of death. But our Elohim, he wants to raise you up daily. He wants you to where he is. He wants you higher than your fears. Higher than your doubts. Higher than your unbelief. Higher than your griefs. You want to get high? The Most High is the highest of all. According, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be. That's part of that spiritual blessing. All. That word all is there. All. A-L-L. All spiritual blessings. In heavenly places. Heavenly. That's above. That's where the Most High God has given us a different place to store all of our treasures. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. One time we used to stuff shit in pipes and smoke it, and I did. To get high. I'm glad that man has died. I like being in heavenly places with my Yah. But I'm reading here, he's chosen us in him. And I'm looking at that, oh boy. Even reading this is getting me high. But I'm no longer, my head is looking down, but I'm looking up. And I read this word and this high is giving me hope. And because Most High has given me hope that I have this faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Higher things in this world can never perceive. High things like casting out a devil and watching a limb grow out or someone being healed. Just think of the high that you get when you're praying for someone and you see them get delivered and you see them get healed. There's nothing like that high. There's nothing like that edification. Edification is such a great high. The God of this world, the mighty one of this world cannot touch it. I love the living high. I love getting drunk in the Holy Spirit. But this drunk does not impair my judgment. If anything, it sharpens my senses. It's the most beautiful thing. Oh, the mighty one in this world got his temporal things. Where do you think he got it from? It's a perversion of the eternal thing. He wants to be like the Most High. Yeah, that's what he said. What the prophets gave testimony to. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be, set himself in the sides of the north among the congregation. We can only, as a people, grasp how high the Most High Yah has taken us. If we will realize where he is desiring day by day to put our feet, he always wants us in higher places, higher above the things of this world, higher above, again, your depressions, unbeliefs, your doubts, anything, you know, that would make you have roots in this world. He wants you higher than that. He's made you higher than that. He lifted up Yeshua on a tree up high, that it would draw all men to him. They would have to look up to see the salvation that we should be without blame and before him in love. Why? Because he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The adoption of children? Adoption of children. Romans 8. I think that's where my mind's going. Romans 8. 29. Yeah, Romans 8:29 says this: for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them also he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. As earlier on in that chapter of Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received this, the spirit of adoption, whereby us cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself also bearing with our spirit that we are the children of Yah. And if children, then heirs of Yah, and joint heirs with Christ, it so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him. Because when he comes, he's going to be high. And we're going to see the one from whom our salvation cometh. Yes, we're going to be high in ecstasy. We're going to be high in joy. We're going to be high in praise when he comes. But those that do not know him, those that have fought against him, they're going to be in fear. They're going to hide. When we see our Savior up on high, he's going to call us high. And we're going to be with him. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Again, and I think 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. This redemption happened before to bring you up on high. All these things happened in high places. See, the God, the mighty one in this world, he's no longer in a high place. He thinks he's in a high place now. But as time goes on, he is being brought low. As each day goes on, he thinks he's getting more and more and more and more an edge on this whole world. He's being brought lower and lower and lower. The Most High Yah knows what he's doing. Far above all principalities and powers and might. He's letting this mighty one for a short time do his deeds. Because he knows that this mighty one of this world, in his deeds, he's going to let this mighty one consume himself. And it is written that there's a fire that's going to come out of the midst of his own being. And it's going to consume him. And all the people that were tied with him. Let's look at this realm of lust that is upon us in this time and this hour with the gays and the lesbians and the hermaphrodites and the termites and whatever ice and kites and mites and whatever they may be and whatever they are identifying as. So you in this time, in your temporal time, you want to burn in your lust? Okay, you want to burn. You want to burn. You want to burn. Okay, you got what you want. You're going to burn. You're going to burn throughout all eternity. And you're going to burn in the lower parts. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, because them silversmiths at Ephesus, they were cranking out Dianas by the hundreds, a whole bunch of silversmiths, coppersmiths, whatever they be, whatever metal they was forming. They had a lucrative business till Paul come into town. When the sons of Yah in this hour really, really start manifesting, merchants of this earth are going to get very upset. The whore is going to get very upset. Because of the dominion that was given to us at the beginning, now here we are at the end time. And dominion is slowly being handed back into our hands. And this world knows it. And this world is going to fight it every way they can, tooth and nail. But it's inevitable. The meek are going to inherit the earth. We are the ones that's going to prevail. Not like the faggots did in the 70s and band themselves in a band called Cleaning and holler, "We are the champions. We are the champions." No, faggots are not the champions. dang prophets and priests of lasciviousness and all kinds of, oh, nasty, nasty, nasty. And here we are in the time where the gays and the lesbians and all these crazy people are thinking they are becoming the champions. And they want to rock you. I tell you what, thanks to the Most High, Yah. We are in some unique times. We do have to keep our ear up on high. And also keep our ear to the ground and listen and see what's on the horizon. Hear what's on the horizon. Most High is going to keep us short. We stay in high places with him. We can see. We can look down. And we will not be ignorant, saints. We will not be ignorant. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. If we can just daily grasp more and more the spiritual blessings that have been poured upon us, and the spiritual blessings that are there for us to pour upon one another, if we really get into this love fest that the Most High Yah has ordained from the beginning, it's no telling what we can do as a people. I'm telling you, saints, great times ahead. Even though it looks bleak upon this world, there is great times ahead. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 632 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T-W-A-Y.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Yes, great hope in our King is coming, because even this was predestined. I don't know why too many people come into the faith and defy the destiny which was made for them. When a great sacrifice has went on before them to bring them into a knowledge of a master and a savior, and to taste, just to get a little taste of the heavenly gifts and the heavenly callings and the heavenly blessings, to find real life and real love and real family. And to despise it and go back to the weak and beggarly elements. I mean, we're looking at a people in Ephesus that we could see that they were spiritual on many levels. And they understand many realms of the spirit. And way Paul is opening the letter to them there, now, the way he's talking to the Ephesians, he's not talking to any other assembly. When you read these epistles, they have their own tenure. They have their own cadence to that people that are in that region. Because it's what is amazing to me, and Yah is amazing, and his love that is higher than any love on this earth, this eternal love, this real love from the real Jesus, there's nothing like it. Because at the revelation of Jesus Christ, even to John given an account, in Revelation 1:11 it says, and Yeshua spoke, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, you write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Then it goes on. You send it to Ephesus. You send it to Smyrna. You send it to Pergamos. You send it to Thyatira. You send it to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Notice that. First one, Ephesus. Well, we don't read of any epistle written to Smyrna or any epistle written to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. But Ephesus was in this number of the seven churches which are in Asia. And it goes on in chapter 2, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he says, I know your works, Ephesus, and your labor. And I know your patience, Ephesus, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. This is Ephesus. And have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored. You have not fainted. But he says unto the church of Ephesus, nevertheless, I have found somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. See, our first love, our greatest first love, the first love that is above all in all, the only real love that we, the children of Yah, have in our lives is the love of Yah. And this is a mutual love. And Christ is writing here to the church at Ephesus. You've left your first love. I know your labor. I know everything that you've done. I know that you've been on the part of evil. Now you despise everything that's evil. Like I said earlier, many coming to this faith and leaving the love which was showed unto them. And even at the revelation of Jesus Christ, he is rebuking the church of Ephesus because you have left your first love. Why I'm imploring all those that are in hearing distance tonight, some have left the room, I wish they hadn't. Because each and every day we've got to let the love of Christ constrain us. Because we're reading here an epistle to the Ephesians. And Paul is helping them to enter and embrace their first love. And we're going to, as we go and travel through the book of Ephesians, we're going to see how much first love was in this assembly. But as time went on, Christ had to rebuke them for leaving their first love. And even this year, Pastor has said, you know, and proclaimed that this thing was going to go on. Many are going to be departing that, you know, have had tenure in this walk. Many that have left their first love went back to serve the weak and beggarly elements from which they were purged from. Not understanding that once you fall away and you become apostate, that you can get to a point of no return where there remaineth no more sacrifices for sin. Of this love, this sacrifice was performed in such a manner, in such a degree. If you desire to leave it, it has a degree that it will leave you also. So saints of the Most High Yah, bless you all. Just now, this entrance into looking at Ephesus and the epistle to the Ephesians. And hopefully tonight we have gleaned something for the week. I pray somehow, some way from Elder Becker's wonderful message, you have gleaned something from it. Because there was words spoken for you. There were eternal words spoken for you. Those words were not for your flesh. Those words were for the inner man. And if you don't have an inner man hearing them words, then I implore you to be filled with the Spirit of Yah so that you can have these hearing ears and these seeing eyes. We need to quit seeing the way we perceive things. Most High has written a book to us for us to see things his way. Without him, we can do nothing. We're nowhere, matter where we're at in this ball of dirt. The song remains the same. He is the eternal. He is the most high. If you want to be high and lifted up with him, then lift him up. And he will lift you up. Because there's one thing about the most high, you cannot outgive him. He said, hey, you want to try to outgive me? Okay, watch me. Watch me give. This is a beautiful fellowship when we get into this love fest like that. Well, y'all, I want to give you this and I want to give you that. Okay. I see you work. I see you labor, love. Okay. Let's see if you can handle this. And it's so much blessings and so much love. He said, you're not going to be able to contain it. But too many people forsake this. And they don't stay chosen. They don't stay in this calling enough to be chosen. They don't let the love of Yah have its perfect work. What if the love of Yah rebukes? Receive it as the love of Yah. Because he wants you higher than that sin that's in you. He wants you higher than that transgression that is in you. He wants you far above all principalities and powers. He wants you with him. We've got to take each day by day like that. By one man, sin entered into the world, and by one man, grace and life entered. Here we are on the part of grace and life. We've got to bring it into this world. We are the witnesses. We are the taught ones. We are the ones that are going to judge everything that happened, the whole existence of this ball of dirt that's been given into our hands. And he's given us in this time and this hour a place of dominion, and we've got to get back dominion. First Adam, he gave it away. He gave it to the Elohim, the mighty one of this world. But now the mighty one is in us. Now dominion is about to be given back to where it was in the beginning. And I thank Yah for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you, child of the Most High, you take every day in dominion. You take every day, every thought, everything that goes on in triumph. Oh, that's why I had to tell one brother. All things work together for the good to them that are the called according to his purpose. But the brother could not hear that. And the brother decided, I cannot endure with the saints. I cannot live with the saints. I cannot do this with the saints. A lot of people leaving their first love. I implore you not. Build on that love day by day. His love is high. No love like his love. Go ahead and lift him high. Lift him up. And he will lift you up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Brother Paul, and all that is in the room tonight. Continue to pray. Pray for Sister June, for what she's going through. We know she can triumph over everything. We are family. We are Yah's family. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We know the Most High Yah. He's far above all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessings, blessings, and shalom.